Good morning, everyone. We bid you a very warm and earnest welcome to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning, this beautiful Sabbath morning that the Lord has blessed us with. Signs of spring are all around, and we appreciate that. It's a great encouragement to us, the fulfillment of the Lord's promise that while the earth remains, that there would be summer and winter, and there would be springtime and harvest. I want to read to you just to Psalm 133. It's just three verses. It's in keeping with our message this morning. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So it's especially the opening words of that psalm, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Psalm 46, the first version, is our opening praise this Sabbath morning. God is our refuge and our strength and straits of present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. We're going to sing down to verse 5, and then we're going to go down and sing the final two verses. That's verses 10 and 11. So the Psalm 46, and we'll stand together as we sing, please.
Therefore, all
We're going to unite our hearts together just in prayer. Let's pray together for the Spirit of God to come down upon both our services today. Our gracious Father, we seek Thee at the throne of grace, thankful that we can come into Your presence. We want to pray, Father, at the outset of our meeting, that as we're gathered here, we will be conscious that the Lord is present with us. We pray, Father, that it will be evident to us that we're meeting together in Thy presence. We do come, Father, in all our weakness and our emptiness. Thank You for these words that we've sung together, the encouragement of them, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And Lord, we've gathered here today to pray and ask that You'll give us strength for the week that lies ahead. We thank, Father, for all the strength that has been used up during this past week. And Lord, we come to renew our strength. You've said in Your word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And Father, it's especially for the power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives that we would pray for just now. We ask that the Spirit will descend. We pray for the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Father, today that You'll pour out upon us the Spirit of prayer as we think of this incoming week and those additional times of prayer that have been planned and set aside. We're asking, Father, that You'll be pleased to make this house a house of prayer. We ask that we'll pray in the Spirit, we'll pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray, Father, that will be so even now as we're bowed before Thee as a congregation. We take a moment, Father, to praise Thee for every blessing that we've known, every provision that You've given to us, especially during these last 7 days. We can say that You're the one that gives us every day our daily bread. Lord, we want to thank You for providing for us all that we have required. We are mindful. We take a moment, Father, just to think of those across the earth today in great need, some in great physical extremity. We pray, Father, for a heart that considers the poor. Your word exhorts us to do that. We're mindful, Father, of that continued situation, even there in the Ukraine. We're mindful, Father, of Your people in that land. We're mindful, Father, of the population, the extremity that's been faced by many of them just at this time. Remember, Father, when Israel came out of Egypt, that You said that the Lord shall fight for you. And Lord, we would ask that You might fight even against the Russian army at this time and bring their plans to naught and bring them into confusion. Our prayer, Father, is that it might please Thee even to bring that war to a swift conclusion, bring it to an end. In this psalm, Father, we think of the words that you make wars to cease unto the end of the earth. We know, Father, that You have the power to do that. We ask that You'll intervene. We pray that there will be the intervention of heaven in that situation. We ask Thee, Father, to bless Your people. We pray that You'll sustain them through these days of great trial, great persecution. We're mindful, Father, of all that are seeking to give help and support to the people in that land and even the refugees that have fled. Lord, strengthen their hands. We pray that great provision will be made. Thank You for the generosity of those that have given so liberally already. And Lord, we ask that even the hearts of those that are out of Christ might be touched by the gifts that are received. May it even be a means of presenting and bringing to them the gospel message, even at this time. And Lord, we thank You for the privilege of being here today, the liberty, the opportunity to be in Thy house. We praise Thee, Father, for Your hand upon this land of ours. But we're conscious, Father, of the spiritual barrenness of the land and the days in which we live. The tide has gone out. We're praying, Father, for a turning of the tide. We think of the deadness and the lethargy that there is all around us. And Lord, our prayer is that you'll quicken us by Your word, quicken us even today by Thy Spirit. come, Father, upon us today by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask now, Father, you've said we have not because we ask not. We take a moment just to ask even now, plead with thee, that the Spirit might come down, fill us full today of the Holy Ghost. We know, Father, that there are many things that would distract our thoughts. Even when we come into your house, we're conscious of so many other things that are upon our hearts, impress themselves upon our minds. We ask, Father, that you'll help us for this little while to set those things aside. We pray that as we're gathered here, that our hearts will be fixed upon your word, those things that you would say to us. We pray for a sight of thyself. Remember Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Lord, in these days of great international events, it's so easy to have our eyes upon world leaders. Remember that your word says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. So we pray, Father, as we're gathered here, take our eyes of others, and we pray that you'll enable us to fix our eyes upon thee, the one that is the sovereign Lord of all the earth, the one that doeth after his own counsel, and none can say unto him, what doest thou? Lord, we do pray, bless the cause of Christ in this land of ours. Bless the testimony of the gospel, even across the earth, just at this time. We're praying, Father, there will be an advancement of the work of God. We pray that you'll bless us here in this city of Armagh. We acknowledge, Father, your goodness, your provision, your faithfulness to us as a church. We pray that you'll bless us, continue to bless this congregation, even with that unity of which the psalmist spoke in those words that were read at the very commencement of this meeting. Your word says, we think of the end of that psalm, it's there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. We're asking, Father, earnestly today, and even unitedly as a congregation, that you'll be pleased, Father, to command your blessing even upon us here in this place. We need that blessing. We pray you'll give us a hunger for it. You remember that the scriptures tell us the words of the prophet Isaiah, I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Lord, take away our thirst for the things of this world and deepen in our hearts a thirst for the things of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Lord, it's for that thirst, a deepening thirst, for the word of God and for fellowship, communion with thee, that we would cry for, Father, even this day. We remember the Ramsay family today especially. We pray that you'll draw near to them. We thank you for the memory of our brother Larry. We rejoice that he knew the Saviour, that he's gone in to see the King in all his glory. We thank you, Father, that he had a testimony to God's saving grace. We pray that even his home calling might speak to others in that family circle too, those that are still out of Christ. Remember Jean and Rachel and Leah today especially. Lord, may they know round about, underneath the everlasting arms of our God. Remember the prophet said, comfort ye my people. And we pray that they will know the comfort of the Lord, that they'll know that comfort in their hearts today that only the Lord himself can give. And Lord, we think of our brother been taken from us at an age that cannot be described as old. And Lord, what a challenge that is to all our hearts today. We ask earnestly that you'll speak to us to be up and doing for the Master while we have opportunity. Lord, teach us all today to number our days, to redeem the time that we have here upon this earth, especially in the service of Christ. So we ask you to hear our prayers. And Lord, abide with us. And we just ask once more that the breath of God will come upon these meetings today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together, please, in the scriptures. We're in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis 13. Very near to the beginning of the Word of God. The first 13 verses we want to read. Genesis 13, verse 13. The scriptures tell us, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south." That's into the south of the land of Israel. And Abram was very rich. Just to highlight for you, remember, Genesis is the book of beginnings. There are quite a number of firsts that are recorded in the book of Genesis. And Genesis 13, verse 2 is the first reference to being rich. Abraham is the first man in all the Bible that is described as being rich. It's a reference that's worth noting. He was rich in cattle. Remember that the order in the Word of God is sometimes different from what we imagine. We normally would say gold and silver. But in the Word of God, generally the order is silver and gold. The idea behind silver, the typical value, is to do with redemption. The redemption money was silver. So that's one of the reasons why the silver is always first in the order. So it says that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, onto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Just think of the sadness and the solemnity of those words. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, then, just there, the close of the 13th verse, we know the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. Just to highlight that final verse, remember that the chapter divisions weren't in the original scriptures, but the Lord has providentially overruled. That is chapter 13, verse 13. 13 in the Bible is the number of apostasy, a great departure from the Word of God. And the first chapter, 13, verse 13 in the Bible, is a very clear description of that. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And notice the strength of the wording there, the build-up. The men of Sodom were wicked. And then it goes on to say, and sinners before the Lord. It's a fearful thing to sin before the Lord. And then the final word is exceedingly. So we're left in absolutely no doubt in the Word of God in this reference, Genesis 13, verse 13, of the great wickedness of sodomy. And sadly, it's so rife in our land in the days in which we're found. We take a moment to welcome all to the Lord's house on this lovely Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence. It is a holiday time and some are away for a few days' rest. We pray the Lord will be with them. But we thank you all for coming, each one from the youngest up to the oldest. And we also welcome those that are watching on the live stream, that we're glad that you're able to join the service here this morning as well. We take a moment to thank all who helped with the Youth Council Regional Rally that was held here in the church on Friday night past. It was a team effort. Quite a number had a part in it. We want to thank each one. The meeting went well. We had young people here on Friday night from as far away as Enniskillen. So we're thankful for the Lord's presence and his blessing that rested upon that gathering. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting. We invite you to come a little early and join with us. We know that over these last 2 years, the routine for some of those things have been broken. We stress the importance of settling our hearts and crying for the Lord's blessing, especially upon the preaching of the gospel. So we encourage you to come tonight, the gospel service at 6:30. I hope to be the preacher speaking on the most, or the conversion of the most despised man in town. So we invite you to come along to the gospel service tonight. Remember, please, the extra nights of prayer this incoming week, Monday and Tuesday, both nights from 8 o'clock to 9 here in the main church building. We want to encourage you to give your full support just to these extra nights this special season of prayer. Tuesday at 6:45, the bright hours in the church, and also down in Killalea. Wednesday night at 8, the midweek service, the prayer meeting and Bible study, and I'll be preaching myself. 8 o'clock on Friday night is the Youth Fellowship. The Youth Fellowship are having a table quiz this coming Friday evening. We thank all of our young people that came on Friday evening to that special rally, and we invite you to come and bring your friends to the fellowship meeting on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 27th of March, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40, the morning service 11:30, the evening meeting at 6:30. I'll be preaching myself at the morning service. I'm preaching down in Corrigarry in the evening time at their gospel service. The preacher here next Sunday night will be Mr. Andrew Dobbin, an elder from the Oma Church. His wife, Jennifer, will also be along with him, and she'll give a brief word of testimony in the service next Sunday night. A mother on Mother's Day, we generally have done that for a number of years, bar the years of the pandemic. So remember our brother, Mr. Dobbin, and his wife, Jennifer. She'll testify. He'll bring a word in the gospel to close the service. Keep in mind the parents' night for the children's bright hours. That's going to be this night, 2 weeks, Sunday night, the 3rd of April, at 6:30 in the evening. The children will be taking part for us. They're preparing a little program. We always look forward to that, and especially this year, so it will be the first that we've had for quite a time. So we are looking forward to that. Do plan to come along to that special parents' night in 2 weeks' time. The offering that was taken on Wednesday night past for every home crusade came to £426. We were greatly blessed and challenged by the presentation that our brother Mr. Samuel Adams brought to us, the vast work in which they're engaged. At the end of the presentation, he showed us They're preparing 4 million copies of John's Gospel to send out to Russia. That request came in before the war in Ukraine commenced. That's 15 container fulls of John's Gospel. There's about 6 of those are sent already. He told us after the meeting it takes about £35,000 for each container. That includes the contents and the shipping. At present, they're printing John's Gospels in Ukraine. They've had a request to commence of 400,000 copies of the John's Gospel in the Ukrainian language. And those were only 2 areas of quite a comprehensive report that our brother gave to us. So I want to encourage you, if you weren't able to be here Wednesday night, if you haven't had the opportunity to give to that offering, you still can. It's still open. We thank all that have given already. So generously put your gift in an envelope and place it in the plate right on it for every home crusade. Remember the mission board's appeal that's been made for the Ukraine to help the churches and the refugees there. So far from our own church, £575 has been given. We want to thank all that have donated so generously to that. We ask if you're planning to give to that special appeal at this time, if you could do that by next Sunday. We want to send off what has come in as soon as possible. As you know, there is great needs, increasing needs as the weeks go by. If you want or if you're able to give at a later time, there's no problem with that. We will send off the gifts then. We'll send off the gifts whenever they come in. But we would like to send off what has currently been received by the end of this month. So if you're planning to give to that appeal at this time, we ask you to do that by next Lord's Day at the latest. The Bethany Church is having their annual praise service for the Christian school this coming Friday night in their church building at 8 o'clock. They're going to have a number of folk taking part, including the Reverend McRae. We'll put the advertisement for that up that they've sent during the incoming week on the Facebook page, that you'll have all the details. There is going to be light refreshment served to everyone afterwards, and there's going to be an offering taken to go towards the support of Portadown Independent Christian School. Remember the Consider Christ campaign that is recommencing next Saturday, the 26th. They're going down to County Cavan for all of this year, and contact the Reverend Jonathan Crane if you want to be a part of that team, and do keep that vital outreach in your prayers. Remember the 2 tracts, what the Quran says about Jesus Christ and how Patrick became a saint, that has been published by the church here. Take copies of those and give them out as widely as you can among your own friends and neighbours. The latest copy of the Watching and Waiting magazine is available at the doors of the church as you're leaving the services today. Our sister, Mrs. Watson, please continue to pray for Mrs. Watson just at this time. She'll know the Lord's presence. Remember the family too, that they'll know His grace and help just through these days. As a congregation, we were greatly saddened by the home calling of our brother Laurie Ramsay on Wednesday morning past. Laurie was just 63, would have been 64 if he had been spared to May. Remember that he was waiting on a lung transplant, but his health had deteriorated just in recent weeks. His funeral service was on Friday past, and the Lord's presence was certainly known at both of the services, the service in the home and also at the graveside. Laurie and Jean were married here in 1987 during Dr. Cook's ministry, and they've had a long association with the Free Presbyterian Church, both here, Bethany, Ballymagurney, and then the last 11 years or so been supporting the work here again. And we've been very thankful to them for all of their faithful support and encouragement of the work of God in this place. As a church, we want to extend our deepest sympathy to the family, especially to Jean and to Rachel and to Leah. pray that they'll know the Lord drawing near to them. And we ask you as a congregation to continue to bear them up just before the Lord at the throne of heavenly grace. We're going to sing together. I believe those are all the announcements need to be made this morning. We're going to sing together the hymn 619. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. So hymn 619, and we're standing, and we'll sing all the verses. Father, we want to pray today for the work of Every Home Crusade. We praise thee for the great miracle that that work is, the vast volume of literature that's printed from week to week. We praise thee, Father, for how you've maintained it. We thank, Father, of the increasing costs of these days, even as our brother reported them to us on Wednesday night. We ask, Father, that you'll continue to bless that ministry, keep your hand upon it, provide for them. We thank, Father, of that very large number of John's Gospels going into Russia and even into the Ukraine at this time. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. We thank you that there's an interest, a desire in those lands, a hunger for the Word of God. We pray, Father, that it might increase. We pray that there will be a work for God done, a move of the Lord all across those very needy lands. And Lord, we ask thee to continue with us now around the word of God. Thank you for the scriptures. We pray that you'll break the bread of life to us today. We pray that you'll speak to us. Come, Father, now and make us ready for this message. Remember the words we sang earlier, be still and know that I am God. Lord, come and settle us, still our hearts before thee. Give us a real sense of the Lord's presence in the midst. Thank you for what we've just sung together. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Lord, we thank you for our fellowship. We rejoice that we have a common salvation, redeemed by the same Savior, washed in the same blood. Lord, even as this passage that we've read from says, we be brethren, and our prayer, Father, would be draw us closer together in our fellowship and in our labors in the cause of the gospel. So answer these our prayers, and now we ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost for the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 13, please. The words of the seventh verse. Our text this morning. It says, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Remember, we're thinking of some biographies. It's quite a study. All the biographies of the Word of God. Remember, they're there for a reason. God has written them into the book to teach us, as Paul said in the book of Romans, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The Lord wants us to learn from the examples, even from the mistakes of the Lord's people as they're found written for us in the book of God. Herbert Lockyer produced quite a series of books, all the men of the Bible, all the women of the Bible. There's a number of those volumes, maybe running into 10 or 12, all the prayers, all the parables, and so on. They're very, very useful books to have if you're involved in the Lord's service, in children's work, and youth work. If you do a little bit of preaching, a little bit of speaking, you'll find those books to be very, very helpful indeed. The title this morning, we're thinking of an incident in the life of Abraham. Last Sabbath morning, we were in the New Testament and 3 John, thought a little about the life of Gaius. So we're thinking today about Abraham. And the title is Strife Among Christians. What we have here in Genesis 13 is a very sad incident. It's a very sad chapter in Abraham's life. It's a very sad incident between Abraham and Lot. And that incident started with their herdsmen. They were fighting over land. They were fighting over grazing and water. And you can imagine in those eastern lands, a lot of sunshine. Water is very scarce. Grass is scarce as well, the grazing. So those are the things that the herdsmen of these two men, Abraham and Lot, were fighting over. It's interesting that this is the first mention of strife in the Bible. I highlighted in the Bible reading, you have in this chapter the first mention of riches, the first mention of the person who was rich. Well, here's the first mention of strife in the Bible, and it is between Christians. It's not a tragic thing, men and women. What a warning that sounds to all of us, to our hearts, to this meeting today. Sadly, it's not the last reference to strife in the Bible. There are many others. Think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Think of what the Savior said to the disciples. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Think of Paul writing to the Philippians, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. So the sad thing, what all of those references highlight for us, brethren and sisters, is strife is a common thing even among Christians. And the warning that is sounded from the scriptures, the warning that's sounded to us today from this passage is we need to guard against it. We need to guard against it in your own life, and we need to guard against it in the life of the church. So let's consider some of the lessons from the strife that took place here in Genesis 13. Notice, first of all, the cause of the strife. Often, it has to be highlighted, strife isn't caused by the big things. Often, strife is caused by the little things. Remember what Solomon said in the Song of Solomon? He spoke about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And often, it's the little things that cause the problems in God's work, cause the problems among the Lord's people. We've heard of strife in churches over things like sandwiches, the serving of sandwiches at suppers. Think of the book of Acts. There was a division, there was strife arose in Acts 6 because of those who were neglected, the widows who were neglected in the daily ministration. It was over mundane things. So it's clear, men and women, there's a good lesson for us there. Often, strife is caused just by the little things. And here it was as a result of money and riches. If you look at the sixth verse, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. The strife here on this occasion was as a result of money and riches. It's interesting, if you study the passage, everything that Abraham got in Egypt caused him trouble. Remember, he backslid and went down into Egypt. That's what you read about at the end of the previous chapter. Well, everything that Abraham got in Egypt, it caused trouble and fights in his family. That was the result of his backsliding. You think of the woman, Hagar. Remember, she was an Egyptian. Think of the problems that were caused in his home and in his family by Hagar. Even to this very day, the fighting, the strife between the Jews and the Arabs. Think as well of the wealth that Abraham received down in Egypt. If you look at verse 2, it says, "And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold." Notice the emphasis. It says he was very rich. You see that he brought some of Egypt back with him, but he also brought some of its problems. And the lesson, men and women, is, what a solemn lesson to our hearts today. Abraham suffered the results of backsliding, and he suffered the results of that backsliding for a very long time afterwards. And often that is the case. That is still felt. I've highlighted it for you, that strife between the Arabs and the Jews. The results of Abraham's backsliding is still felt in the world in which we live today. So there's a warning for us. A wrong decision can have long-term results for you as a Christian, in your life and in your family. Can I point out, I highlighted in the reading the first mention of being rich here in verse 2. Well, the first mention in the Bible of being rich, it's associated with trouble. And what it teaches us is, wealth is nice. It's a nice thing to have a wee bit of wealth. But wealth can bring a lot of trouble with it. Material things are not always a blessing, brethren and sisters. It's interesting, the word rich, if you look at the word, its origin, the word rich literally has the idea of being heavy or being weighed down. And what you need to see as you think of that is, riches can become a great burden in life. Think of what Solomon said, "The abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." All the worries, all the concerns about money and land and property, the rich man, when he goes to bed at night, he can hardly get a good night's rest. All the burdens that can come with riches. But it is sad, brethren and sisters, as we read in this passage, it's very sad when people fight over money. You think of how many families and how many fights in a family started over money and property. The Savior, was confronted with that during his earthly ministry. Remember Luke 12, the man that came to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." But it's especially sad when Christians fight over money, as was the case here in Genesis 13. That's something we all need to be beware of, something we all need to be very careful about. So that's the cause of the strife here. Think of the closeness of the strife. Remember that this strife was between Abraham and Lot. In other words, it was between an uncle and his nephew. You see how closely related they were? We could describe this as a family fight. Strife between neighbors, between relations. And that makes it especially sad. And remember that in addition, they were both believers. They were both saved. Abraham was the more spiritual of the two. He's described in the Word of God as the friend of God. What a name that is. Remember, he's the only person in the Bible to be given that honored title. But contrast Lot, because Lot was the friend of the world. And how sad that is. Both were Christians, one the friend of God, the other the friend of the world. If you weren't with us last Sunday night, we spoke a little about Lot as an example of an end-time believer. We encourage you to listen to that message. But it's very sad to see that there's unity here among Christians. And yet in the days in which we live, it's something that is so common. Can I stress, brethren and sisters, that's not the Lord's will. If there's one thing the Bible says that God hates, it's he that sows discord among brethren. One of the things we need to pray for as we meet in this incoming week is to pray for unity, the unity of the Lord's people, the unity of the work of God. You look there at those words at the end of verse 8. He says, "We be brethren." Can I ask you to note, even to mark those words? This was strife not among worldly people, but among God's people, among those that profess the name of Christ. And it's vital to remember that, brethren and sisters. Sometimes those people you're fighting with, they're the Lord's. They're blood bought. They're your brethren, your sisters in Christ. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, sent a message on one occasion to one of the great world conferences that were being held. The message that he sent was just one word: others. That's what he wanted to emphasize to them. I could urge you to take that to heart today, brethren and sisters. Don't just think of yourself. In our human nature, it's self that always comes to the fore. But don't just think of yourself. Think of others. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Paul writing to the believers at Philippi: "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So think of encouraging others. Think of influencing others, setting the right example. And remember that your relationship to each other, remember that today, we all belong to God's family. Remember, there ought not to be any fights among those in God's family. I stress to you those words again: we be brethren. So remember, brethren and sisters, remember that vital relationship that we have, the one to the other. Notice as well the concern about the strife. If you look there at the end of verse 7 of the chapter, it says, the words of our text, "And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then." Notice the word "then." The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. The idea of the word "then," as it's used in the verse in our text, is that they were in the land at the same time that this fighting was going on, this strife was taking place. So the reality is that these men, Abraham and Lot, they fought and they quarreled before the ungodly. So what that means is they didn't have a good witness. They didn't have a good testimony in the land at that time or before the world. So brethren and sisters, never forget, whenever Christians fall out, it hurts the testimony of the church.
the ministry of the church is damaged. The church can't be as effective in the community as it ought to be. It's good to remember when there's trouble in the church and among Christians, the world is watching. The world is looking on. That's one of the clearest lessons that we learned from our text this morning, Genesis 13, verse 7. Whenever Christians fall out, there's trouble among the Lord's people, the world is watching. The world is looking on at all that takes place. The fact is, the community soon hears if there's division in the church. Sometimes you wonder, you question, why the unsaved won't come in to our meetings, to the church. Well, could it be the reports they hear? Could it be the things they see? That's what keeps them away. Can I stress, the great need, brethren and sisters, is for practical Christianity. Must live the life. Couldn't emphasize that enough. Think of the psalm we read at the beginning of the meeting. Speaking about unity, it says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. In other words, it's teaching us that unity is fragrant, but strife and disunity, that becomes a stench before God and before the world. You know, there's nothing that will attract others. There's nothing that will attract others to the church, to our meetings, like love and kindness. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, there's a biography of his life, and it sums up D.L. Moody like this. He loved the men. There was a great love about his life, about his personality, his love for others, especially his love for the lost. And that's what's needed, brethren and sisters. I want to emphasize that today. James Usher, who was the great Anglican bishop of Armagh some 400 years ago, he spoke about the 11th commandment. I'll not take the time to tell you that whole story this morning. But in speaking about the 11th commandment, the words that he was referring to were the words of the Lord Jesus, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." The 11th commandment. Notice the words that are repeated, "that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So the message is clear, brethren and sisters, from the lips of our Savior. We need to display a greater love for each other, a greater love for those that are the Lord's, a greater love for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Notice in the fourth place the consequence of the strife. I highlighted to you in the reading at the end of verse 11, "And they separated themselves, the one from the other." The result of this strife was that these two great men parted company. Remember, Abraham should have left Lot in Ur of the Chaldees. Whenever the Lord called them out of Ur at that time, the Lord told them to leave his kindred. In other words, to leave his family. But Abraham disobeyed God, and he brought some of the family along. Brought his father, Terah. That was a hindrance to him as well, but he also brought Lot. And what problems, what great problems Lot caused to Abraham. There's a number of them in the account that's given of his life in the Scriptures. And if he had separated from Lot whenever God told him to do it, when he was leaving Ur of the Chaldees, if he had obeyed God fully at the start, then Abraham would have saved himself a lot of trouble. But eventually, the separation came, the separation between the two men. But it came in very sad circumstances. It came as a result of a struggle between these two Christians. You think for a moment of Christians maybe that you have parted company with over the years, maybe because of a fight, because of strife between you, maybe some that used to belong here to this church, brothers and sisters in Christ that you worked with, you prayed with, you fellowshiped with, prayed and fellowshiped with together for years. But now there's the same separation that took place between Abraham and Lot. Maybe today you don't even speak. And you know one of the very interesting things, brethren and sisters, about strife that takes place as the years go by. If people are asked, what caused the fallout? What was it that caused that fight, that separation? You know, in many cases, people don't even know. They couldn't say. They can't remember what was the start of it. What was the cause of it all? Remember, when there's strife and division among the Lord's people, the only person that wins and the only person that's happy is the devil. He got his way among God's people. And he got his way in the Church of Christ. Think of Paul and Barnabas. There was a strife between those two great men as well. And we're told that the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. Imagine that, Paul and Barnabas. They separated. They parted company. The greatest missionary team the world has ever known was broken up by strife. So what a warning there is to our hearts. The message, brethren and sisters, is we need to beware. Need to beware. If it happened to them, to men like Paul and Barnabas, it could happen to us as well. It could happen with us here in this congregation. The final thing is the conduct in the strife. The vital question is, how do you conduct yourself at a time like this, a time when there is strife, a time of strife? Well, again, Abraham sets the example. I could sum it up like this for you. Determined to be a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. That's how Abraham conducted himself, and I urge you to do the same. Notice his speech. Verse 8, it tells us, and Abram said unto Lot. So the first thing to do when there's trouble is to speak. Go and speak to the person about it. Often, trouble arises because of a breakdown in communication that takes place. And you know, it takes grace. A lot of grace to humble yourself and to go to speak to the person at such a time. And maybe that's what you need to do. I want you to notice as well the sacrifice. Take note of verse 9. Take time later to read over it again. It says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So as you think of those words, just consider what Abraham did. He made great sacrifice. Here's a man with a great heart, with a generous spirit. He didn't claim his rights. In fact, he was willing to surrender his right for the sake of peace and unity among them. Can I ask you, will you do the same? Remember, he was the older man, and God had promised the land to him, to Abraham, not to Lot. It was the promised land to Abraham and to his seed. He could have told Lot what to do. He could have laid down for Lot what was going to happen, but he didn't. He didn't utter anything like that. You know, what he really was saying was, don't let us fall out over this. That's the message he was giving to Lot. Don't let the devil have his way. You know, brethren and sisters, there's a time that peace costs. There's a price to pay. And Abraham shows us here, he was prepared to pay that price, the price of peace. And I wonder, are you willing to do that? Abraham went the second mile to resolve the dispute. And I urge you to do the same. You know, what Abraham did here was really an act of faith, a great act of faith. He believed that God would fulfill his promise to him and give the land to him in the Lord's time, even if now for the sake of unity. he offered the promised land to Lot. So I say, brethren and sisters, be careful about your conduct in a time of strife. Conduct yourself as a peacemaker. As a peacemaker, whenever there's strife among Christians. Let me finish by just emphasizing Clarence McCartney was a very well-known Presbyterian minister in the United States, the early part of the 20th century. Dr. Paisley would have emphasized to us as students and ministers, buy all the books you can by Clarence McCartney. They certainly are very useful, very helpful. Clarence McCartney, going to school as a lad, they had to walk to school quite a few miles there and back every day. When they were leaving home in the morning, the mother, who was a godly lady, gave them a verse of scripture to consider and to learn and to talk about along the way. One of the verses that she gave to them as children that he always remembered through his life was the words of Joseph to his brothers, "See that ye fall not out by the way." It was not very perceptive of that mother, knowing that her children going to school with the other children in the area, there might be a few quarrels and a few disputes, a few fallouts. So she emphasized that to them. Great lesson. See that you fall not out by the way. And that's the message, brethren and sisters, of the passage. That's the great lesson that the Lord wants us to learn. That's what the Lord's saying to us as we ponder this portion of his word. See that you fall not out by the way. So pray the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts this morning. We're going to sing just a few verses. 615. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Think of the third verse. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schism rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. We'll sing the first three verses, the opening three verses of the hymn, please, and we'll stand together as we sing.
Bye.
Let's just pray together. Father, we praise thee for the service this morning, the time that we have spent together in your house and around your word. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray, Father, give us hearts to receive the word of God as it has gone forth today. Keep your hand upon this church, we ask. Keep your hand in these days upon our whole denomination. Pray that you'll watch over us. We remember the words of Joshua to Moses coming down from the mount. There's the noise of war in the camp. Lord, we pray you'll keep your hand upon all of our churches in these days. We want to ask that you'll watch over us. Give us wisdom, we pray, in all our dealings, the one with the other. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Remember the early church, that they met and prayed with one accord. Lord, we pray that that will be true of us, even in this week that lies ahead. We ask that we'll see answers to our cries. Lord, we know that there's times we have to wait on prayers been answered, but we want to plead with thee that even during this incoming week, for the encouragement of your people, that we'll see answers to our cries very clearly and plainly before our eyes. We ask thee now to grant us your presence as we leave. Bless us in our homes through thy day. Remember the gospel service tonight. Lord, send in visitors. Bring in especially the lost. Come and visit us in this house with the conversion of souls. And now may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.